Welcome to the DDHD podcast. We have a very, very special episode today. My name is Marwan Menomini. I'm joined by
Rochester.
And this particular guest we've been wanting to get on for a while now. He's a renowned comedian in Canada and across the world, I would say. He's been seen on Just for Laughs, LOL Network, CTV Comedy. He's got a very funny album called I'll Be Fine, available on all streaming platforms. And he's also the host and creator of the podcast called Talking Raptors. So without
first
further
thing we
ado,
did when we met each other.
Yeah, just talk about Raptors. Yeah. So this was supposed to start an hour ago, but this is an hour after because we talked about how shitty the Raptors were. Yeah. But we got the one and only Nick Reynoldson. Let's give it up.
Thank you, fellas. Thank you.
Yeah.
Happy
doing,
to be here. Doing well. Happy to be here.
Thanks for being here.
Nice,
man.
To get the Raptors shit off my chest.
Yeah.
Was
that therapeutic for you?
Oh, it's always therapeutic to cuss them a little bit. Yeah, it feels good.
Are you still recovering from their... from their loss this year?
No. I'm
past it.
I'm so fucking happy the season's over. I'm like, I feel peace. I feel good. I can enjoy basketball again. I don't have to worry about them until free agency.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, we definitely want to get into the podcast later on and see how that was started and why you started it. But we're also big fans of comedy. You know, we've had several comedians come through the podcast, and it's a very competitive art form.
We've heard the struggles, yo. We've heard the stories, you
know. Definitely heard the stories, and it's never an easy story, right?
No,
it's always been a struggle and a come up. So, how long you been doing comedy, man?
16, 17 years. I think this is my 17th year doing comedy.
Okay, wow, man.
And yeah, you started my entire adult life, I've been doing comedy.
Ooh. Damn.
Yeah,
and. You were young. Were you 19, 20?
19, 20 when I started.
Wow.
Comedy. Yeah,
okay, so late teens getting into it.
Yeah, so it has to work. Otherwise, we're fucked.
Well, you knew that.
Big gap on my resume, dude.
No work experience. Yeah. Zero. Yeah. So if you needed to go
Did
get
you
a
do
job
a bid?
Tomorrow.
What happened? We've been married for 17 years. You kill somebody?
Bombing. 17 years. how'd you get into it, man?
Well, I got into it by accident, man. I wanted to be an actor.
Okay.
Like, I wanted to be Jim Carrey, dude. That's what I thought I was going to be when I was a kid.
The greatest to ever
do
it.
The man.
Yeah.
Still the man.
Still.
Yeah. That's what I wanted to be. I didn't know, a comedian was a job.
Right.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Right.
Right? Like, I didn't understand what that was. And I had to pay for, secondary school myself. And I think I got into Ryerson. And when I saw how much tuition was, I'm like, it's not gonna happen.
Not gonna happen.
Yeah. I don't know how many shifts I have to work at fucking Jackassers to pay this, but it's not gonna happen. And then my drama teacher told me about Humber College, comedy writing and performance. And I got into that, and it was like a quarter of the price. I'm like, let's fucking do this.
Let's do that. Yeah. So before that, you just weren't into comedy. Like, obviously you're a fan of comedy, I would say, you know, like, what were you watching around that time?
So around like high school is when I first got into kind of like Def Comedy Jam.
Yes.
The Kings of Comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Just a bunch of shit. Like, I got really into Chris Tucker, really into Chappelle's Show. It was a little bit after that. I think that was in college when Chappelle's Show came out.
Right.
But I didn't know that was a job. Do you know what I mean? I didn't understand what comedy was. I'm like, oh, this is like a weird, like, one man little play or something that you're doing. I had no idea, but I knew I liked it. And then in Humber, they make you do comedy. Like, you have to do 4 minutes of comedy every month at Yuck Yucks, I think.
It's like a requirement.
Yeah, so you must do 4 minutes every month. And
sharpen
then
that sword early.
Yeah. And then they critique you on what you did. And like, looking back now, you're like, oh, that's the worst guy to ever give you advice in comedy. This guy's not even a comedian. He's teaching, dude. Like, he tells you weird stories about being on. Like, I remember being in Humber, and this guy told me, he's like, you guys want to learn how to cook a lobster in a coffee pot?
What?
I swear to God. Like, just because he's like, you're going to be on the road in these shitty places. He's like, you want to have a nice meal? I'm like, that's not a nice meal, dude. This is what the hell. I'm like, I don't, maybe this is not for me, dude. I'm gonna be cooking lobsters and coffee pots. But
what a way to live.
Yeah.
How was your first time getting on stage, that first 4 minutes?
The first time was wicked.
Yeah
The few times after that was not so wicked.
It seems like the first time you always hit lightning bolt.
Sometimes. A lot of people, I get different like a lot of my buddies, like first time they bombed, then the second time they killed. And then you bomb for a bunch of times until you figure out your voice kind of thing. But I did really well because of my acting and theater background. I just did like a little play. I blew the light, got in so much shit. I just talk about like I did too long. Like you're supposed to do 4 minutes.
Oh,
I
think
I
did like light,
seven minutes. So that's a big no.
You thought it was an actual light.
I'm like, I had these powers when I was doing comedy. It was so bright, everything exploded.
Was that Matilda when she blows a light?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think that was Matilda. Whoopi Goldberg? Is that what, you know what I'm talking about? When she makes the lights change. Yeah, man, and I'm like, I just fell in love with it the first time. The first time I did it, I can't remember what I talked about, like getting mugged in Scarborough. I don't really remember it.
Okay,
but I
did
remember
you actually get mugged in Scarborough.
I've never been mugged. No.
You're from Scarborough, right?
I am from Scarborough. Yeah, born and raised. Right. Parents are still in the same house.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. Bum.
And your parents Canadian?
My mom is Guyanese and my dad's Canadian, but his parents are English. Yeah.
Okay, like English.
England, yeah, okay,
Dope, that's an interesting mix.
Yeah, yeah, but grimy England, not like
grimy
London
England.
Yeah.
Not royalty England.
No.
You've been to Guyana?
Poverty England, yeah. Yeah, I've been to Guyana, yeah.
Yeah?
I haven't been to where my grandparents are from in England, because I'm so stupid. I went to London. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go. Look, it's 8 hours away. I'm like, oh, we ain't going to make this. Make another trip. But yeah, I've been to Guyana. Yeah.
Okay, that's dope, man. Yeah. And does that help formulate like your comedy, your family or your background?
For sure. My background, definitely. Like being from Scarborough. Like I literally thought white people were the minority. I swear to God.
Yeah,
until I went to college, I did not realize that, I didn't even understand racism, right? Like, because literally it's just my dad and my mom has this giant Guyanese family and they are racist towards him. I'm like, this is fucking hilarious. You're like, oh, the food is too hot for you. Like, you shit like that, right? Like, when we go to my family events, they literally will make a white man food for my dad. Frank, we have your white, like, chicken fingers or some shit. You know what I mean? Like, here's a hamburger for you, Frank. Yeah.
They're well prepared.
Yeah. So it was like, that's what I grew up thinking. And I'm like, I didn't have, like, there was three white people in my school.
Right.
Oh, wow.
So I remember we had to do a swimming test in high school to go to like some trip or something where you had to go in a canoe. So you had to learn how to swim. And it's only me, Simon, and Jordan, the only people in the entire fucking school that could swim.
Wow.
Yeah. No one else could get in the canoe.
What are you trying to say? White people can't swim?
No, I'm saying white people can't swim.
Yeah.
I'm half white, dude. My grandparents had a pool, dude. That's how I learned.
So when you're in the ocean, you're half white.
Yeah, my mom can't swim. I don't want to be like, you know, stereotypical, but these are facts of my life, dude.
Yeah, shit. I'm opposite. When I went to high school, I thought there was only white people because I went to high school in Virginia.
Right.
And then when I came here, I was like, yo, there's colored people out here.
Right.
I didn't know this existed. This food has flavor. Lots of flavor.
Lots of it.
Lots of it.
I'm like both, actually, because I grew up in Rexdale. So I grew up in a building there. You know, big up to Mandem, you know what I'm saying? And then I went to Woodbridge, which was a complete opposite. Ooh, you know, like, you know what I mean? So I was old enough to know both experiences, which is kind of crazy.
You had none of food?
I've had it.
Yeah.
I've had it.
Like real
Italian
Woodbridge.
It's helped my cooking.
Bridge.
Thank you to all the nonas out there for let me just staying in the kitchen for a little bit because I use it till today, you know?
Absolutely.
Shout out Gio's mom. shout out Gio's mom, bro. But no, I wanted to ask about like, okay, you started college, right? You were doing comedy writing.
Mm-hmm.
And at what point were you like, yo, I'm going to give a shot at this. This is going to be what I'm going to be doing.
Literally from the first time I did my first set, I was like, oh shit, this is my own little play, my own acting. I get to write it and I get to act. I get to be all the characters in it. I don't have to worry about, you know, someone not memorizing their lines or fucking up a scene or anything. It's all on me. Like, you know, win or lose, it's just me. And once I got that, and it was like a struggle, man. Cause I don't want to say like I hit the ground running or anything. Cause I was still a young sheltered kid from Scarborough. And then I'm in this program with little like clowns. Like you literally have a clown class.
What?
There's a clown, like a clown class.
Like you're talking about like—
I'm talking about clowns.
Like you dress up as a clown?
Like ancient clown where they give you a red nose, Bredrix. So you always hear this shit about they're making fun of you going to clown school.
Yeah.
And then I take this class and they're like, here's your nose. I'm like, yo, what the?
What?
Yeah. And you have to put it on and you have to do like, you have to wiggle around and like, you couldn't speak English. You have to emote and try to tell a story without using English with this clown nose on. And just literally me being from Scarborough, I'm like, yo, fucking bond this whole thing, dog. Fuck this, man. This is nuts. And you're with psychopaths. You're with crazy people that want to be comedians. So we had guys coming. I remember this kid named Rhinosaur.
Full name.
That's what he wanted us to call him. So that's what we called him, Rhinosaur.
Okay.
And he would come full, just like a garbage bag, and he'd punch his head through it and punch his arms through it. And we'd come to...
Wow.
Class no rain. Like that? That's just how he's rocking his no shit. Rain. Yeah. No
rain. I feel like that's a human normal behavior for a guy named Rhinosaur.
For sure. Okay. Yeah.
So you were you had a great short career as a clown during school.
Yeah.
And then afterwards you were
I want to get back to that clown shit.
You know what? I talk a lot of shit about it now, but because I was a young 19, 20-year-old kid, you don't even understand. You can't see the benefits of these things.
Mm. Right.
But now looking back and after, you know, having an actual career and being a comedian, I'm like, I understand what you're trying to do. You're trying to get people comfortable. You're trying to get you out of your head and into your body kind of thing. Right.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I get it now.
Yeah.
But I'm like, there's other ways we could have done that, brother. Yeah. Like,
we didn't have to do clown shit.
You know what I mean? Like,
facts.
How was the rest of school, man? You know, like, was
I don't know, man.
Did you start
I was a
working?
Shithead, dude. I didn't appreciate it for what it was.
Yeah,
because I could have networked a lot more. You know, I was like super into girls at the time. So I was like, okay, man, I just want to do comedy, go chase girls, drink, and party, right?
Yeah, so
I didn't take it seriously. Like, I remember I was so high for second semester, like comedy history class. So high, dude. Just fucking bliss off my head. And I come in and I don't remember. And I come for the second week and this man stands up. I'm like, yo, who the fuck is that? And they're like, that's the teacher. I'm like, I did a whole class and I didn't know who this guy was. I didn't remember. Wow. I didn't remember anything. Like, I was like, who is this guy, bro? They're like, that's
the teacher.
That's the teacher, man. Yeah. Man.
Did you start working professionally during school or after?
Professionally?
Yeah.
No, God, no.
Like getting into comedy clubs, doing the thing.
No. That took a long time after. Okay. Yeah. You would pick up gigs here and there, right?
Like, yeah.
But I was also doing it so sparse because I was living in Scarborough.
Mm.
And one of the things my stand-up teacher told me, because I used like 2 hours to get to Humber, like it took me 2 hours. My stand-up class was 8 a.m.
Mm.
So I'm like, if you want me to do stand-up at night, I'm not getting back home to Scarborough.
True.
Until like 1:30, 2 a.m.
True.
Then I'm waking up and I have to get to class by 8. So my stand-up teacher was like, you don't have to come here. He's like, if I see you out doing the rooms, hitting the mics and stuff, he's like, start your own monthly show.
Hmm.
And you never have to come back here again.
Damn.
And I never did. I never went back.
That's sick. Yes, yeah.
And that's how you got yourself on the mic more and started working through it.
Yep, I started a show.
Because at the end of the day, that's what they want, right?
Yeah.
Somewhere you can hone your skills and build, right?
So. That's true.
Because they can teach you in a classroom. They can teach you how to hold a microphone.
Right.
They can teach you, you know, if the shit comes undone, they can teach you how to put it back in. But they can't teach you how to write jokes. They can't teach you how to be comfortable in front of people.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
So it's like you got to go learn how to do that yourself.
True that.
And how's the grind, man? Because it's not an easy grind being a comedian, bro.
I mean, I look back now and it was fucking amazing, but I'm sure at the time,
for other
like,
people, it was, yeah. Yeah, you know, yeah, like,
at the time, I was like, it's rough, man. You're like, you question, is this how am I gonna make money? Like,
how did you support yourself being a comedian?
I had odd jobs, man. Yeah, I had Jackassers. Yeah. I worked at the Bay,
okay.
Yeah, anywhere I could just teeth shit is.
Yeah,
that's why I came here, dude. I didn't even come here to do a podcast. I'm teething equipment here.
You have to deal with him.
Yeah, you have to deal with Wayne in the back. I'm pretty sure he had an edible or something. Yo,
you might get away with it today. You might get away with it.
Look at his shirt.
Oh, God, you might get away with it today. Thought that therapist was good, huh? Cost his podcast $6,000, dude.
No, you're too busy jumping in the background. So how long did it take until you started making an income and supporting yourself with comedy?
Shit, like full time supporting myself?
Yeah, man.
Man, that didn't happen until like maybe like 8 years into comedy.
Okay.
Where I didn't need a job.
Okay.
And I quit my job early.
Oh.
Because I'm just a shithead. I'm like, I don't need this. Dog, I'm going to hustle harder. And you're like, this sometimes doesn't work like that. Like,
no, it does not.
You can hustle, but the gigs aren't there. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So I was like struggling. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Watching yourself. Okay, man, we're going to eat off the value menu today, right?
Like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Survival mode.
Yeah. Junior chickens for a lot of years. And I was like really lucky. Like, my OGs in comedy like looked out for me. Like, guys like John Paul, and they would make sure I would eat. Like, we'd go on road gigs, like, you have food and shit. Like, real, like, hilarious, like, movie things. You
know what I mean?
Like, oh, this is real.
It's dope, man. You gotta live it. I think it's really cool that I know you kind of stumbled into comedy, but you knew where you wanted to be earlier in life, you know, like, from a very young age. And I think, you know, especially dreams that have deadlines, sometimes you have those dreams, they fall to the wayside, you know, things happen, whatever. But sometimes people don't even find what they're looking for until later on in life, you know, and they're always trying to find that passion. You found it early, you know what I mean? So, like, what do you, like, attribute that to?
To be real, fucking laziness.
Laziness. Like, you just didn't want to do anything else.
I thought he was going to say a serious thing.
That was powerful. That was powerful.
So I'm being dead honest with you. I don't want to work a job, man. Right. Like just from school, I like what I liked in school. I like drama, like English and shit. But I'm like, I remember I used to cry doing math. I literally used to cry. I'm like, why don't I know how to do this? And there's only one way to do that shit, right? You know what I mean? It's not like some interpretive things that I don't get. I can't see it. I'm just stupid. I don't know how to do this, right? So I'm like, okay. I'm not going to be a fucking engineer. This was very clear to me, right? So I'm like, okay, let's figure out something. And then I really liked the arts. I really liked, you know, poems. I like plays.
Right.
And I got into that. And I say laziness, but I'm like, you know, like, it's not work when you love it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I put so much work into that, but it doesn't feel like work.
No.
I would blow off things just to go to the drama room and read plays and learn about shit and just put all my time in that. So I'm like, okay, you're gravitating towards this. Figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my drama teacher took me. There's like, he's just really, really good guy. Really, shout out to Colin McClellan, man. He still invites me to his house all the time. I'm like, I'm not coming. That's weird.
You're my teacher. Yeah.
I'm not coming to hang out with you, bro. Like, fuck that. I still call him Mr. McClellan. I'm like, I'm a grown man, dude, and I can't. I don't see you any different.
Yeah.
But I remember him taking me. He's like, when I was like, I think I want to be an actor.
Right.
And he took me to the guidance counselor who also had a drama background. And he was like, do you think Nick can make it? And he's like, looked at me. He's like, you know, he'd seen me in plays and stuff. He's like, I think he can make it. But he's like, as a character actor. And that was the funniest shit. Because I'm like, oh, you're telling me I'm not Tom Cruise, dog? Like, I'm not going to be a leading man. I'm not going to be an action hero? Okay,
all right. We were cool.
Yeah.
Like, okay, Steve Carell did it.
Yeah, in his movie, right?
He was a comedian.
Yeah, he turned his shit around for sure. If I get some steroids, watch the hell out, dude.
What's your process like in terms of writing your jokes? And it seems like every comedian's different. You know, do you write your stuff down?
I write... it's a little bit of both, man. I never sit down and like force myself to write jokes. Like, I'll sit down to force myself to write like a story or a script or something. That'll sit down and focus.
Right.
But to write jokes, I can't sit down and write jokes. Like, something has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my girl says something crazy and I'm like, oh my God. And that expands into something else. You know, my mom does something nuts. Like, okay. Or you're just out in public. Like, I'm really good at, observing things. I think that's my best skill, is just seeing shit.
Do people watch?
People watch a lot. Yeah. And I kind of pick up on how people are feeling. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm like, I chase like I try to write jokes to make people feel something. You know what I mean?
There's a meaning behind what you're saying.
Not even a meaning. Just like
a feeling.
Like, because I'm a little dude, right? So Juice, you never felt like a little dude, but you felt little before in your life. You know what I mean?
Yes.
In a situation or something, you know that feeling. So I'm like, that's what I'm trying to relate.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So you've never been a small 5'6" mixed kid. You know what I mean?
Here's what it's like.
You felt little in a situation. I'm connecting with that.
I love that.
That's dope, that. Man. Yeah. I definitely love people watching to actually, like, I'm usually the most quiet person in the room.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm getting the ideas to write a joke, but I have to verbalize a story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know how to write word for word for word, but verbalizing it helps me. Do you like verbalize things when you're practicing for your sets? Or is it all in your head and then you just practice it on stage?
So most of the time it's in my head, and, you know, if there's like some sort of a punch that you have to hit, or you know my voice should go higher here, you know, just the sonic kind of
changes,
journeys and ups and downs kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
That'll kind of maybe practice in the shower or some shit if I get into my head, or smoke a spliff and go for a walk and you know, listen to music, and then when the music's not there anymore, it's just my brain, I can't hear the music, then I know I'm cooking with something, right? But otherwise it's going like where the homie saw at that shitty show.
Yeah.
There's like three people. I'm like, I've never said that shit on stage before either, true. But it's in my head.
Yeah.
There's something there. So it's like,
that story could be a movie.
Yeah. But I mean, like, that's the first time I said it out loud on stage.
That's true. That's true.
And because
so your memory
no...
must be impeccable, bro.
No, it's absolutely not.
No?
It's fucking horrible, dude.
Really?
Yeah, but it's like, this is some shit, actually. The Beatles, I heard Paul McCartney say, like, they never wrote down any music.
Mm. They never wrote down?
No, so he would write a song, and he's like, if I don't remember this shit in the morning, it wasn't a good enough song. So I'm like,
sick. Interesting.
I've heard that.
There seems to be
again, laziness.
Yeah.
There seems to be a common theme, though, from the previous comedians that we have, music is a big part of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have a musical background, right?
Mm-hmm.
You started doing music as a kid?
Yeah, play guitar, still make beats here and there. Yeah. I play a little bit of keyboards and stuff. Yeah, my dad is like big into, my dad's still in a band, like,
wow.
65-year-old white guy band, dude. Like, yeah. So
you grew up in a musical household for sure.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And then plus, like, my mom, you know, like the diversity of it all, mm-hmm. right? My dad was like, you know, like rock music, and my mom was soca and chutney.
How did that work, yo?
That just, I don't, you
do you remember, like, yo, like, were there like DJ battles between you?
No, man, that's just
because you know, Guyanese woman is strong, bro.
Oh, like, yeah, it's strong and scary as hell, man. Yeah. I'm still scared, dude. Like,
they don't play around.
My aunt still to this day, how come, when are you gonna get a nice Guyanese girl? I'm like, do you see you all how you are? I don't want this for the rest of my life, dude. Shout out to the Guyanese women. I'm just fucking playing. Don't come for me, dude.
And
we know it, though.
You were telling me that you dove into commercials too, right? Like, you've been an actor on commercials. You were for several years the lead man on a campaign for Captain Morgan.
Captain Morgan. I was a Captain Morgan man. Yeah.
What was that campaign like? What did you?
So that one, I don't know if you guys remember. It was like everywhere, man. It was during the Leafs playoffs and shit. It was during Raptors playoffs too. But there's a bunch of kids outside. I guess not kids. I shouldn't say kids because they're fucking drinking alcohol. Like,
don't say kids. No.
But I was like, I was like, I think how old you gotta be? Like 20, over 26 or something to be. So I was like, 26 around that time.
Okay.
And I'm like, we're playing street hockey, and I hit the doorbell with the puck.
Put the puck, yeah.
And I ring the doorbell to get the homie out, and I do this shit, like,
you remember?
I do like hit my chest, which was not in the script. That's pure Scarborough. They were like, there's no way you're gonna hit this. I'm like, dog, I'm hitting this first try. Like, watch me. And I did it, and I hit it first try. I was like, what the fuck, you son? And they're like, do that again. Yo, keep that reaction. And I could never hit that shit ever again.
Yeah.
But that reaction stayed. Yeah.
So, I remember that.
Yeah.
That's man. Big.
You remember
big,
that campaign?
Man. I do. Yeah. You actually hit that?
Like, the first time. That's reaction came from, like,
wow.
I told you, bitches. Yeah.
That's crazy.
I'm like, that's CGI.
Yeah. The one you saw was CGI. 100%.
Yeah, but you actually hit it, though.
Yeah.
And what's the goals in acting? Like, you were in a film, you were telling me too recently.
Yeah, I just did Eli Roth. He just shot a horror movie called Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And so I get to die pretty fucking sick in it. Like,
sick.
I get a really good death.
I'm a big Eli Roth fan too.
He's a good dude, man. This is the second project I've done with him.
Really?
Yeah. He found my stand up last year and booked me for a role on this VR thing.
Okay.
Which was really fun, cool experience. And it was more like a play.
Okay.
Because when you do movies and TV, like, you're not supposed to look into the camera, right? Like, that's the fourth wall. You're not supposed to break that.
Of course.
But when it's VR,
you're looking into the camera.
Because that's a person. Yes. Like, you're watching it. You're in it with us. So you're playing to the camera. You're like, Kyle, come with me.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That was wicked, man. Vanessa Hudgens was in it. Like,
what?
It was fire.
That's fire. Yeah. I love that,
that's
man.
That's dope, man.
Eli Roth, he's one of the, he's up there, man, when it comes to, like, you know, that genre of music, film, like horror and stuff like that. Like that real campy type of vibe.
So do you remember Grindhouse?
Of course.
So Thanksgiving, this movie that I was in,
yes,
was a fake trailer that Eli made for that
Grindhouse, which is like 12 years old or something like that. Yeah,
so they finally are making this Thanksgiving
movie. Happening.
It's bad. It's done, man. Shot.
Because I heard this song, like, they did the trailer for it. I forgot it was in Grindhouse, right? And then, but this is so long ago, and there was talks about the movie actually in production and happening.
Wow.
You know?
Quentin and Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And so that's the one you were talking about where it's been in the works for over a decade.
Probably a decade, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it just
this is actually
just
happening.
Yeah, yeah. It's wrapped,
actually
man.
Happening.
Wow. Yeah. November 17th, will be carved. Yeah, there will be no leftovers.
We look forward to
Mad Championship. But I get to die fucking wicked.
That's
so
dope. We look forward to your death.
Bro. Yeah. Please, yeah. Thank God.
That's awesome, man. And acting is that like the next stage in your comedy career? Is that what you're gonna
be? The first stage.
Yeah. Just back to
the first stage. Yeah.
Back to square one.
Yeah. Right, you want to be like a full time actor kind of thing.
I mean, I'll do stand up until I'm dead, dude.
Okay.
Like it's what I love so much. I love it with all my heart and soul, and it's my story, right? Like, it's, you know, if I wrote my, my biography and sold it, and we're gonna make a movie, there's still other people that come in and like zhuzh up some shit. You know what I mean? They change. Mm-hmm. Oh, you should do that. Or you know, make your friend like, no, he's like Cantonese. I'm like, okay, this is all like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They change it.
Change it up.
But stand up is like, that's me. Mm-hmm. That's my words. That's me 100%. There's no compromise on that, right?
Does not work well with others.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Not even work out. 100%. Yeah.
That's crazy. Have you?
I got it too, so I can.
That's what we talk about.
That too, yeah.
Brought to you by cannabis. Have you ever had like, you know, because it's, I know you've had a good journey, but like looking back at it, I'm sure there's been some rock bottom moments, some struggles. Like, it's not an easy thing to be a comedian.
Yeah.
And so, you know, did that happen? Like, at what point in your career did that happen? Does it still happen?
I mean, I think if you're any kind of artist and you're like really pursuing it, like you're almost like weirdly selfish and you don't mean to be, but you're like, I've missed birthday parties. I've missed shit from my parents. I've missed, you know, so many family things, so many friends things. Because I'm out of town, I'm chasing my dream, or I can't be there, or I can come for 20 minutes. I gotta go run, do this fucking show, and it's strenuous on people, man. Like I lost a lot of you know, a lot of girls and shit, a lot of relationships that I was like in, and you're like, and it's not fair. Like, you know, I'm like, I only get this one time.
Yeah,
I'm gonna do it.
We're just talking about that. Where in relationships for an artist, you're usually coming in second, you know, to your number one goal, which is your dream. Mm-hmm. Is that the same reality for you, or have you found a compromise?
When I first started, I'm like, oh, this is gonna be a thing. Like, I can do this. I can make a living. I was like, this comes first. I made that deal with myself and whoever I was going to get involved with and anything else. I'm like, this comes first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This comes because I don't want to be an old man at Humber telling you how to cook a fucking lobster. Like, you know what I mean? I don't want those regrets at all in my life. So I'm like, just do this, man.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
there'll be time, man.
And have you gone through like any financial struggles?
Oh, hell yeah, man. What?
I'm trying to understand. Jesus. I'm like, did this guy have that?
I'm a kid from Scarborough. That's all I know is financial struggles. What are you talking about? Dude, I went to Humber because that's all I could afford. Yeah, man. Yeah. I, like I said, man, it was maybe like I started making decent, like good money where I'm like, I don't have to worry about bills or I don't have to worry about
rent
and stuff. Maybe like past 6 years.
Yeah. Okay. So
and the commercials and these things help. Like,
yeah. So it took you, like you said, 8 years in to start making that money.
Yeah.
Is there a blueprint to comedy? So like any artist or a comedian that's watching this, right? They'll go to like different schools or talk to different people where they're like, you got to do the clubs here, the open mics, up to the clubs, to running your monthly show, to getting in the, like, is there a solid blueprint, or do you find with today's social media and technology and everything like that, you can kind of make your own?
There's no blueprint at all, but it depends on what you want to do. Mm. If you want to be popping on social media, make fucking videos, dude. Get popping on social media. But if you want to be a good stand-up comic, you got to get on stage. You got to go do comedy. That's it. There's no steps to skip. There's nothing you can do. Like, you have to go do mics. You have to go do these rooms. You got to write these jokes. Mm. And you got to perform for as many different people as you can.
Yeah.
If that's what you want.
Yeah.
Because you can have your own little audience and work like that. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever do small rooms, or you're only focusing on like headlining shows and bigger rooms?
No, I'm doing a small room tonight. Like I do small rooms all the time.
Okay, dope.
Because that's, like I said, I'm like, that's how I write. I write a lot on stage. I have an idea. Let's go say this without any real consequences.
Mm.
Right? Let's get this out now and turn it into something. When I go do like a Nubian show and there's 300 people, it'll be a thing. It'll be an actual solid joke. It works. Because I did it
in the small
to two
rooms.
Fucking people.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Because if it could work there, it could work for 20,000.
It'll work everywhere. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So talk about the Canada scene and American scene. So like, you know, vastly different markets.
Mm-hmm.
Most artists in general, and comedy and music, we're all always going down to the States, right?
Mm-hmm.
To make it bigger. Is the scene here too small? Do you find that Canada can be a self-sustaining market, or you got to go down to America to make it big time?
To make it big time?
Yeah.
You got to get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
There's no industry here.
True.
There's a little, like, I'm almost at the ceiling. There's not much left for me to do here, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I've done all the festivals. I've done, what else are we doing here?
Yeah.
You know, I can tour around the country so many times, and you can make a good living. Don't get me wrong. You can live here. But if you want to take the next step, you got to go to the States. There's just so much more opportunity.
Yeah.
It's not like there's better comics or anything like that. Like, there's just more.
Yeah, more.
There's
people.
More clubs. There's more industry. There's more shows. Do you know what I mean? Like, more chance to get on TV. More chance to get paid.
That's true, man. I remember like open mics in Toronto, especially when I first started going there. It's always a room full of comedians.
Mm-hmm.
Versus when I went to open mics in the States, it's a room full of people. Like actual people waiting there for you. They know you're amateur. You know you're going for an open mic. If anything, they're excited for it.
Yeah.
And they're there and you could test out your material. Versus here, it's kind of like, I'm just waiting for you to get down so I have an opportunity to go up myself.
Right.
Kind of thing.
For sure. Yeah. Absolutely. And it depends on the rooms as well, right?
Like, yeah.
There's a lot. I mean, I haven't done like the open mics in a long time. So I can't remember what, you know, I don't remember what the scene was, but they're not fun. They're not good.
Yeah.
Like, but they're necessary.
Yeah, that's true. And you're signed with Comedy Records, right?
Yeah.
Now, is that like an actual record label for comedians?
Yes. First one in Canada. Yeah.
First one in Canada.
Yeah. Started 12 years ago. Yeah.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah.
And is it like the replication of how artists work at a record label in the music industry?
No one was doing that. And Barry Taylor, the CEO, he was like, why the hell is no one doing this? Like the music does that. You put out a record and then we tour around the record.
Mm-hmm.
So that was his idea. Like we're going to drop records and then we're going to tour around the record.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's expanded into like, you know, like a fucking basketball team. Like, there's so many, you know, so many things, but it's like now he has a roster and we're, you know, we all have visas now. So we're all going down to the States. We're doing these like Canadian USA crossover kind of things.
That's what's up.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah. So it's I'm very lucky, man. Because at that time when he found me, I was not good.
No. Hmm. Like in what way?
I was like good, but I wasn't like a headliner. I was just like a young kid kind of popping, but like I heard the first thing we recorded, I'm like, I sound like a little girl. This is crazy. My voice is different now, right? Like, I don't know if that's weed abuse or what happened there, but like,
it works now.
Yeah, exactly. I was a different completely different kid. Like my life was completely different.
Yeah.
Got it. And is that, what is your thoughts in terms of like being independent as a comedian versus like the label side?
I mean, you're always independent as a comic, right? Yeah. Like you're, regardless of like, I mean, Barry and Comedy Records gives us the resources to help. Like, cause if, you know, for example, if I was getting my visa myself, that's like 13 grand.
Yeah, that's crazy.
13 to 15 that's grand crazy. To get. Plus getting all the paperwork and shit. And you're like, yeah, man, I'm like, I don't want to do that. Like, I don't want to put together articles from the beginning of my comedy career, right? Like, so that support is the best. Like, it's, hey, man, can you read over this contract? And it's like having someone that's like my big brother that I know this guy's not going to fuck me.
That's pretty dope.
That's what's important to me. Like, hey, man, can you read over this contract? Because I don't know. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, why do they want to own my shit in perpetuity? Yeah. What is this?
Forever.
Yeah, like things like that. Where you're like, okay, I'm not allowed to say this for 6 years. Like, you know what I mean? Like, why? Why is that? Like, and he'll go in like, no, we're not going to do that because we make money from satellite radio residuals, right? So it's like, you got to watch out for the conflicts of that.
Sorry, satellite radio residuals?
Yeah, so like my album gets played on Raw Dog Radio in the States and here at XM. So yeah, you make a couple bucks every time they
gets play played. Yeah. And is your album on it?
My album's on it. Yeah.
Okay. That's dope, man. Let's talk about the album. I'll Be Fine.
Yes.
How long did it take to get to that point? Was that your entire comedy career to get to that kind of those bits?
Yeah, that's everything. Yeah. That was everything until that point. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, the best shit. I mean, that's not everything, but it's the best things.
Mm-hmm. Best shit.
For sure. That was the best things at that up until that point.
And you released that 2020, right?
Yes.
That was like post-pandemic or pre-pandemic?
No, it was right before.
Right before?
So I didn't get to do the tours or anything. Like I had this crazy like Texas tour and stuff that I was going to get to do. But man, I'm just thank God that that got on the radio and I got to make money. Otherwise, who knows? I'll be back when my mom's
that's dope, man.
Learning how to clap roti, bro. They might have been done.
And when people look up I'll Be Fine on DSPs, your cover art's pretty dope.
Thank you.
Because it's you in the water?
Yeah, in Lake Ontario, end of February. Fucking worst day of my life.
What? Wow. Yeah.
So were you fully clothed?
No, I had swim trunks on.
But your shirt, your sweater?
I had my hoodie on,
Your hoodie on. Yeah. And you went in there the end of February.
How
cold was it?
How cold was it?
Yeah.
Well, it was the worst, like, I was like, fuck this, dude. As soon as I got in there, I'm like, this is the worst thing I've ever decided to do in my entire life.
How long was the shoot?
It was cool. I mean, I was like, you do this quick, dog. I'm dying, bro. I am dying, man. Like, like I remember coming out. I'm like, I can't feel my legs. I'm like, if I fall backwards, I'm like, that's it, dude. I'm floating away.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all these little white girls that were down there and were like, for sure I'm on TikTok, dude. Like, for sure. Like, look at this fucking crazy guy going for a swim. Like, I'm shooting something.
Oh, sorry.
That's a dope cover art, though. It's pretty visual. Yeah, what's the inspiration behind it?
Actually, man, weirdly enough, it's Lil Yachty's first album that inspired that. The colors. His is more greenish.
Right.
The boat, right?
Lil Boat,
Yeah.
That's
and I'm not a big Lil Yachty fan, but I was a big fan of that fucking cover. I'm like, that's awesome.
That's dope. Mm-hmm. That's pretty dope, man. It's so dope to see that comedians now can. It's really just like how musicians are in the music industry. You know, you're creating a cover, you're creating a track list, you're putting out an album, you're touring with the album.
Yeah.
It's
true.
So it's kind of like it's very similar art forms.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I would say the difference is that when you're a musician, you get to go tour and play those songs.
Right.
That's true.
When you're a comic, I can't go and do my fucking album.
Do the album.
Yo, bro, I heard this already. What are we doing here?
That's so true.
Write some new jokes, bro, right? Yeah. So it's like,
you can't say your best jokes,
you don't want to hear the hits most of the time.
So
some people they do, but not.
Right.
So I'm not at that level yet.
That's pretty dope, man. I want to get into a little bit on sports.
Sure.
You know, so you are the creator and host of Talking Raptors.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with that, man? Why'd you make that podcast?
That's me and Barry, man. We were like,
okay.
Because it's just like how we came in and started talking shit about the Raptors. Like, we would do that every time we hung out. So I'm like, might as well put this on wax. Let's do a podcast. And that was like 10 years ago. So I didn't even know what a podcast really was. Like, I was like, I don't know. And we got really lucky. We got picked up by Raptors Republic. Which is like the biggest Raptors fan site.
Yeah.
Nope.
So we got on there, but our podcast is like, we're not talking no X and O's. We're not talking strategy. We're literally two comics talking shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like talking like from a fan's perspective. I'm not saying like I could coach a team better because I couldn't. Like I'm just telling you what I see and my perspective and try to make it as funny as we possibly can.
That's so pretty good. Yeah, that's if you and Dwayne had a podcast of talking Raptors shit.
Talking football, probably. Football shit. Yeah.
You should do it. Dude, there's an appetite for it. Because like we're on that site and everyone's very X and O's.
Right.
Take it really seriously. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what are we doing here, man?
Yeah.
What are you guys never coached? You never played in the league? Like, what are we talking about? You're just a dude. You're like, you have a journalist degree, man. What are you gonna, why are we taking this so seriously? Yeah, right? Like,
that's facts. Yeah. 10 years in now, right?
10 years in, yeah.
That's the part I was like, damn, yo, like you didn't even call it podcast back then, yo.
No,
like,
yeah.
It was just like we just talk shit together.
We had no idea. We still do it old school too. We don't do no video.
right.
We've never once done it over Zoom.
Never.
Even during the pandemic, we just meet at a park.
Damn.
And do it at the park. Like, that's scumbags,
cool.
Dude. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
No, but that's, you know, it's supposed to be an audio experience. You know? If you can't master that part, then, like, you know, like, are you really a podcast? You know? If you need all the bells and whistles and stuff like that to make your podcast great, you know, that not necessarily was the point, I believe. You know? You know, you want people to... long form content, you know, however you consume it, you know, it doesn't have to be with your eyes. Even though I love them, you know what I'm saying? We love the cameras, we love everything that's going on in here. And in this day and age, you want that to get it on as much eyes as possible. But I know Rogan, you know, started out with like shitty little stuff and he's a big advocate of just saying like, yo, just get any audio you can down and turn it into a podcast.
Just do it, yeah.
Just talk in long form, put it together, make it cohesive in some form or way, and put the shit out, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
100%.
So never get discouraged of what you have. Just do the shit.
Just do it, yeah. Regardless of what equipment, make it the best you can and put that shit out, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's dope, man. So you guys are going to keep pushing on it, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, this year was probably the roughest year. It was the most, because I remember we started, remember Tank for Wiggins?
Yes.
So that's when this podcast started.
Okay.
So that's when we had enough. Yeah, we're like, well, come on, let's go. We got to do something. Now we're back kind of here, and we're like, we should have tanked for that French kid, man. We should have got Wembanyama. Why would we add Jakob Pearl kind of thing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we're kind of back to where we started. So.
And you, how consistent were you?
That's our problem. We're not consistent.
Okay.
We're not consistent at all. We're so busy.
It's for fun.
Hell
too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's 100% for fun. Like we've had sponsors and we've lost sponsors as well.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Our ad reads are crazy, bro. Yeah. Like I'm not.
Do what you want.
Yeah, man. Our Manscaped ad read was wild, dude. Like, but I got that shit at home, man. So,
yo, shout out to Manscaped.
Great product.
Yeah.
That's dope, man. Going back to your comedy, you want to ask about some of the big stages that you've hit. So, like, what's the biggest stage you think you've hit?
Shit, man. Oh, God, I don't know. The biggest stage? Damn. Mm. The Winter Garden Theater? I can't remember, like, in terms of size or in terms of...
Let's say impressions.
Impressions? Impact. I mean, I guess every
eyeballs.
Time... Every time I do Just for Laughs, it's like a Just for Laughs gala or something. Yeah. That's a big deal.
Okay,
that gets
dope.
Out there.
So
yeah.
Dope.
And how, for comedians watching, like, how do you get into festivals? Do you get recognized by an agent, a booker? You go to showcases?
Yeah, you're kind of... Your name kind of just buzzes, man. Like, for young comics listening, it's like... Kill every time you go on stage.
Mm-hmm.
That is the best piece of advice I can give you.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what, there's three people, if there's 1,000 people,
make sure you
go kill the same way every time. Mm-hmm. Just smash. And people, they'll hear about you, man.
That's dope.
And more people will book you because, like, oh, this guy killed this show, come kill my show, and so on and so forth. And then you'll get asked to showcase for these festivals.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing, man. Go kill.
Are you conscious of what you say on stage, depending on the crowd?
Ooh, different sets for different crowds?
I definitely do, but I don't... I'll... Like yesterday, I did a country club, so I didn't swear as much as I normally would.
Right.
But my materials... You're getting these goddamn jokes. You're getting it from my brain.
Yeah.
I wrote this because I want it to work for everybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, that feeling thing. I'm like, you can relate to this shit. I don't care how rich you are or how different you grew up than
Absolutely.
I
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there anything that's off limits for you personally? Like, you're just like, I don't really, I don't find the funny in this. I don't want to joke about this. Like, is there anything off limits for you?
Mm.
No, nothing's off limit, but I do, I don't even know how to phrase this. I wouldn't say nothing's off limit. I don't think anything should be off limit to anybody. If you're trying to make art and trying to make it funny,
mm-hmm.
you should be able to try.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to deal with the consequences of the shit you say.
Mm.
Right? You mm-hmm. said it. You thought it was going to work. It didn't work. Live in that. You yeah. have to live with that. Yeah. That's your bad. Yeah. All good.
Yep.
Go on to the next show.
Yeah.
So there's nothing off limits, but there's things I don't care to explore or try
okay.
because it's not worth it.
Right.
What right, about, like I really don't like touch on religion very much. Like I don't see the point. Like you know, I'll touch on it from my point of view, where my mom was Hindu and sent me to a Christian school. I'm like, this don't fucking make any sense, right? Like, you know, things like that from my right. But I'm not gonna be attacking like, I'm like, you know, in my head, I'm like, this is okay, ma. All right, yeah, what do you believe, really, dude?
Yeah.
You know no, what I mean? But I'm sense. Like, I think, yeah, I'm like, you know, there's no ill intent. I'm not trying to do anything malicious. I'm trying to make you laugh at some
yeah,
shit.
Yeah. In terms of religion, it feels like, you know, there's this very old standard that people live by, but the world has changed so much and religion has just kind of stayed the same. And it feels like the stuff that they wrote, even though a lot of it can relate to everyday life and stuff, there are things in there that just doesn't seem the same in this new world mm-hmm. that we live in.
For sure.
Like, they never would have expected to see a world like this if Abraham was down there. You know what I mean? Like, they're not thinking about this right here. You know, like, you got AI now? Like, what the hell?
You got porn in your pocket? Haram, dog.
Right? So, I don't know. That's all I got. Yeah.
Imagine if Abraham's the dude that God asked him to kill his son. And
let's not make this a religious podcast, please.
No, but imagine if he had AI back then. He's like, should I kill my son? And the AI answers, like, no.
Yo, give you a whole, like, book.
ChatGPT.
ChatGPT, tell me what to do.
Yeah. What should I do?
So and maybe nothing off limits from your perspective, but what about your perspective in comedy as a whole? Do you think they're allowed to say anything? Because there's a big debate, you know, and Dave Chappelle's probably one of the biggest proponents on it, where comedians should be allowed to say anything.
Yeah, you should be able to say whatever the hell you want.
Mm. And what about, you know, cancel culture?
It's not real, man. I don't yeah. like, I don't know.
No, but
I don't think that's real at all. Yeah. Like, Juga, who's ever got canceled as a comic for that saying shit?
That's true. I don't know. Not saying shit, for doing things.
Doing things is different.
Different. Not for saying something.
That's right. 100% different. What if you're committing crimes, brother, you got to be canceled, right?
Yeah. Like,
what about what if you're saying things?
He didn't get canceled.
No?
The media canceled him.
Media canceled him.
He's still doing shows.
But he's still working.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
If you have fans, how are you going to get canceled?
That's true. That's true. So nothing off limits, you think.
You might not get a TV show.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
There might be consequences to what you say.
And there should be.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it is. Like, you say some shit, you got to live with what happens with the shit you say. But you should be allowed to say whatever you want.
Yeah. Is there such a thing to as going too far?
When it doesn't work?
Yeah, I mean, if you're bombing with hate speech, yeah, it's probably too far. You know what I mean? But I'm like, you tried. God True. Bless you. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, I don't know. Like, I definitely, you know, I'm in the clubs. I see people. I'm like, damn, I wouldn't have said that shit. But I'm like, that's not me. You know what I mean? Like, you should be allowed to say that. Maybe you can find something funny there. And it's not for me. My brain doesn't work like how that person's brain works, right? Like, and like I said, you got to go bomb for three people to figure out. Maybe this is just you bombing for three people, and the next time I see you, it's gonna be fucking amazing.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know, but you should be allowed to try, I think.
I agree, man.
Freedom of speech.
I agree. I think I think with social media, it's just become so, like, hating when it comes to things that people don't like to see or don't like to watch. I always say, like, scroll and skip to the next video. Like, if you really don't like what they're saying, it's not for you. Why do you got to spend your time by putting a comment and reporting the account and all these things?
Well, because fear and anger are louder than love and admiration. That's why.
That's true.
But there's equal amounts.
That's true.
There's probably more love and admiration than there's fear and anger, which is just, that's fucking louder. That's what you see.
That's true.
It's easier for people to be like, fuck this. What is this?
Yeah. Like, I find Canadian media landscape is so different than America, not just in terms of market size, but and the type of shows that are allowed to be Canadian funded, you know, and being allowed to market to the Canadian audience. Do you think it's always going to be that way, or do you think it's going to change?
No, man, the internet's changing everything. The whole thing is getting changed. The whole landscape is changing. Even the festivals, they're all, everything is going to be different. Right. It's slowly happening. The landscape is changing entirely. Like, you can make a you guys can make a show right now and put it out to, and potentially have more people see it than a CTV, their show. That's what I mean? Like,
That's true.
It's all going to go away, dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But once advertisers stop paying for TV, because no one, who the fuck has cable
anymore?
Who's watching these things?
Yeah.
Then what happens?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the game is entirely different.
Things going to happen in our lifetime?
Yeah, it's 100% will be. Mm-hmm. I think soon, like I think in the next 10, 15 years, it's going to be entirely different.
That's dope, man. So what's next for Nick Reynoldson, man? What do you got going on? You got another special you're cooking up?
We're cooking the other special. Yep. So you'll see me performing for three people, fucking bombing, trying to figure some shit out. Until that becomes a thing. But yeah, just keep touring, man. I'm going to keep auditioning. Hopefully Eli Roth will keep killing me in fucking movies.
That'd be sick.
Nice.
Yeah, just keep going, man. I'll be fine. I literally named it out because to convince myself. Like, I'll be fine.
Oh, that's true. I didn't even think
that was for
that.
Me, dude. Like, I wrote that when I started comedy. My album is going to be called I'll Be Fine.
Was that, like, therapeutic for you?
Yeah, it was to convince myself, mm-hmm. you're going to be fine. Like, mm-hmm. when we're hitting these rock bottoms, like, come on, I'll be fine, man.
That's true.
And then that shit came out, and we're going to be fine, baby.
I love that.
So I guess people watch out for Nick Reynoldson upcoming specials. You think this year, next year?
I would like end of summer, maybe September-ish. So this year.
So this year.
Yeah.
Okay, dope. That's coming up soon. Mm-hmm. Speaking of rock bottoms, I know you got our lasting question.
A whole lot of people listen to this podcast, man, and you know, they want to be motivated. That's why we're here. We're in service of them. That's why it's called the Dreams Don't Have Deadlines podcast. Mm-hmm. You know, so for everybody out there listening, what would you tell that person who's at a crossroads about why their dreams don't have deadlines? So we just ask you to look into that camera and talk to the people them and say, yo,
smoke weed every day. Hey man, but smoke some if it does help. It'll calm you down, dude. You gotta smoke some weed. I would say there's no such thing as deadlines. If you got a dream, you go for that. You don't wanna be an old man alone in a hotel room cooking a lobster in a coffee pot and wonder what could have been. Go for your dreams, man. Every day, put a little bit of work. Just a little bit. You don't gotta go 12 hours a day. Just a little bit. Every day. A little bit. Chip away. And that momentum will grow. And have fun with it. And don't be scared of shit.
That's dope, man. That's some great advice right there. Mm-hmm. Where can people find you, Nick?
Nick Reynoldson everywhere. NickReynoldson.com. Nick Reynoldson on Twitter, on Instagram.
That's dope. And I'll Be Fine is available on all streaming platforms.
It's on all streaming platforms. Okay, yeah, run that up. I get 6 cents every 1 million streams on Spotify. Yeah.
That's dope, man. Well, thanks again for joining us today, man. This was a great conversation.
Thanks for having me, guys. I love you guys. This is great.
Looking forward to your special and all the great things. And you know, when you're touring across the world, just remember us little people.
Got you, man.
But this has been the Dreams Don't Have Deadlines podcast. My name is Marwan Menominee. I got
Rochester.
And finally,
Nick Reynoldson, baby. Woo! Thanks, fellas.
Thanks, man.
My pleasure. That was fucking mad fun, bro.
Work hard and I handle my business. Look up in the sky, whole squad, let's get it. No limit, no.